This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, not getting killed on the mentions. That's good. That's good.
Why would you have gotten killed?
Because you tell people bad. It's not bad news. It's good news. It's good stuff. He plays well. Just, you know, when you... I don't know. That whole conversation we had yesterday about, if you change your mind, you're talking about this after a win. Yeah, I talk about it after a win. And they're 4-0 right now, and that's great. It's not about giving up on guys. It's not about getting rid of guys. It's about getting better. The Knicks showed you, and I think that it was case in point last night. I'm going to get back to the Browns here in a second, but it was case in point last night. They're a really good basketball team, and they know that their ceiling is just so high, and they want to get to the same ceiling as the Boston Celtics. That's why they made that move this offseason. The Cavs, they have to know in their heart of hearts their ceiling is only this high. And they want to get up to the same level. You're going to have to do something at some point. And the only way you can do it is if one of these guys, who is not Donovan Mitchell or not Evan Mobley, you are not moving on from either of those, if one of the other guys plays exceedingly well. So if Darius Garland plays exceedingly well, he either A, plays well enough where he is untouchable again, which is a possibility, or B, plays well enough to entice another team that wants to build that they can give you a wing and that they can take him, which is a very difficult thing to ask, but is where we're at.
I don't think it's a negative. I think it's not a negative. The one thing that the team is obviously banking on by bringing everybody back and just by changing the coach is that they do have a good core. They have a strong core. Now, we've seen plenty of strong cores get broken up. The Boston Celtics have done that a few times. They've retooled their amazing 50-plus win annual core like four times over the last 10 years. So just winning 50 games doesn't mean you just keep the players the same no matter what. You have to figure out what you can do in the postseason. And a big part of what the Cavs are doing is banking on the young players continuing to get better, and obviously Evan Mobley going to a whole nother level,
yeah.
Which, he really hasn't yet this season. He looked great in the opener, but he's taken one more shot a game than before. His three-point attempts are right where they were, you know, kind of in the last 2 months of last year. So none of that has dramatically changed.
Now let's get to the phones and Davey, who's still in the Navy and probably will be for life. He's from Cleveland. And hello, Davey, you're next up on the Fan.
Yeah, how you doing today?
We're doing well. Go ahead.
I just want to say that, again, like I've been saying, Garland is too small. He's going to be a defensive liability. It showed in the game, even though he came through in the fourth quarter, you know. But as the season goes on, we're going to see. I'm still going to see this key for Mobley. He still doesn't show where he's being unlocked. He's still getting stuck when he gets down in the post. He doesn't have that mid-range game. Screw set to three, he's still too small. So we still got a lot of some issues to deal with. Talking about trying to deal with the Celtics.
Well, it's been four games, but I'll say this right now, Davey. I don't think that he's, as far as a defensive liability, I need guys who can help my offense when I get to the postseason. I have Isaac Okoro who can help out defensively. Now, that might be a laughable thing to some of you guys, but I think that that's why he got signed this offseason.
Yeah, that is.
Okay. So, I mean, these defensive guys, yeah, we'll need them in the postseason, but their names are different from Darius Garland. I can't see myself being frustrated defensively with Darius in the postseason. I think I'd be more frustrated with what he would do offensively.
Right. Well, I think my issue is the fact that what happens is a lot of these teams, they switch up on him and he get these mismatches. He's always wind up on a big.
That's true.
And this is going to wind up being like it was last year. They're going to shut him down, you know, and we're going to get what we got last year.
Well, that's still the same. And Davey, thank you for the call. That's still
something.
Why I'm not. I'm definitely open to making a move during this regular season.
He compared the Cavs and their team to the Celtics. All right, if we're going to do that, everything's going to be a losing proposition for just about 27 other teams. Like, if you're comparing the Celtics right now, look, especially when they get their unicorn back healthy, they look like a perfect roster. They've got five guys in their lineup that can shoot threes at all times. They got everybody can handle the ball. Everybody can defend. And they've got guys off the bench that hit miraculous shots. Like, if you just do it that way, then why do we even play the games? So, no, I'm not going to look at it that way. Like, the goal is to gain ground. The goal is to gain ground on them and then establish, you know, kind of where you are in the pecking order with everybody else, which I think they're going to have a chance to do. I mean, they're going to, with this great start, they're going to have a chance. I mean, legitimately, they have a chance to end up with a two seed in the Eastern Conference.
Are you saying the only way to gain ground is to make a trade?
Well, no. On the
Celtics?
On the Celtics.
I think so,
yes. Well, and the Celtics, I probably could use some injuries,
but
which
you can,
happen in the NBA all
the
time.
Well, I'm just trying to compare who's the last dynasty that we had, right, was the Warriors, and they did trade for Kevin Durant, but they made the coaching change first. That's how they made their initial jump, right?
They kept
their core together, and they made the coaching change. Why can't we think that that's going to happen?
I also don't want to make just any trade. I think that there have been teams in the past, and I don't know if Boston is at that level just yet. I mean, it's been one championship, but boy, they look really good, and they look like they could win a couple here. But there have been teams in the past, notably Golden State, who if you watch the Western Conference while Golden State was at their peak of their powers, there were plenty of teams that made trades that were foolish. In an effort to try to catch the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State was so good. Mm-hmm. They made owners and general managers in turn, because the owners were, they made them freak out and make foolhardy trades that made those teams worse. When a team is that good that they make other teams freak out and make them worse, that's how powerful they are, and that's why they stand at a different level from other teams in history. Now, I don't know if Boston's at that level yet, but I think a lot of us did see that, hey, there's a notable difference between Boston and a lot of other teams in the Eastern Conference. I'm sorry, Joel Embiid, if he were healthy enough to play, would probably keep Philadelphia at the level to take on Boston. There's no comparing that at all. He never has, and I don't think he ever will be, obviously. So there's no reason to make that conversation. You can compete with Philadelphia. You can compete with New York. You can compete with Milwaukee's a mess right now, as you say. But your goal is to compete with Boston. That's why New York made the move that they made.
Yeah, the only way, like when we went into the offseason and we looked at the way, you know, the Jared Allen extension went, we're like, well, that's interesting. They could trade him before the deadline. The timing is such that they could with his contract. And the Darius stuff, I mean, that's all playoff-based. You know, it's not regular season-based. The Cavs have been really good with Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell in the regular season. So I expect them to continue to be really, really good. The Cavs are banking on Evan Mobley becoming such a force here in year four already. God, year four. That we create all the mismatches. We create all the problems for other teams. And so you hold out hope that that happens this year. I think it's going to happen eventually. I don't know if it's going to be this year. That's my only wonder on that. I mean, I fully assume that Evan Mobley is going to continue to get better.
We had a big conversation earlier today. And it's about this game coming up on Sunday. What was great about winning the game on this last Sunday was it was therapeutic. It made everybody feel better. It made everybody happy. It was an emotional day at the stadium. It was an emotional win for Browns fans and everybody who's been involved with the Cleveland Browns for a long time with the passing of Jim. But it also puts more pressure on this Sunday because I think for the first time ever, what you've been telling me in not so subtle terms is that Sunday is not just a must win. They're all must wins. Sunday, you have to look good. I think for a lot of folks, I think I'm fighting. I have people calling me an idiot. A moron, not just in general terms, about my ideas of, hey, give me a little bit more time with the Browns. Give me until this Sunday to see whether or not they should be sellers. See whether or not, because I owe it to try to get to the playoffs. And there are so many people lining up going, you're wasting your time and you're wasting all of our time. They can't beat Kansas City. They can't beat Buffalo. They can't beat any team in the NFC that would be a real threat. You are wasting our time. We need to rebuild. The quarterback's contract is an albatross that hangs around our heads for the very next couple of years. And you said it yourself, Ken. They need to draft a quarterback in this draft class. People love Shedeur Sanders. They love Cam Ward. They like Garrett Nussmeier. You said it yourself. You should be on board with this. Why are you not saying these things? I admit, it sounds like it's a little bit out of both sides of my mouth. But that's only if they don't have a chance to do anything. The goal, as of right now, at 2-6, should be the playoffs. But I'm fighting uphill battle, and I think to a lot of people, it's not just that they have to win on Sunday. They have to look dominant doing it with Jameis Winston. They have to look good. Style points, for the first time in the show's history, I think actually matter to fans on Sunday.
Boy, that's really interesting. And this is a huge, all of a sudden, a huge game just based on everything we talk about. And I get it. Again, and I made this case kind of earlier. If you were outside of Cleveland, you'd already have eliminated the Browns. I've heard a lot of national guys already eliminate the Browns. And, you know, I think, what, percentage-wise, it was definitely single-digit, even after that win. So they've got a lot of games to make up. And looking at just the what is in front of them, and the AFC looks wide open, like in the wild card situation. But you're already staring up at a bunch of teams. Like, John Greco, earlier in the show, was talking about how, you know, this team is right there for the division. And I'm like, we're four back. Normally when you're four back after 6-7 weeks, you're done. Like, you have no shot to win the division. I'm thinking wild card. I don't know if you are still of the mindset that the division's up for grabs.
No,
I do not. I don't think it is at all.
I'm thinking, well, I gotta crawl before I can walk. So we got to think wild card first.
Yeah. Just in looking at this team, what this team needed to go right just to have a shot to win that game. And they had no pressure. Remember, Jameis and the Browns had zero pressure on Sunday. It was a let it all hang out game. I mean, you see that in the NFL. You see it when coaches get fired and somebody else comes and coaches the team. Remember Jeff Saturday, didn't they win their first game against the Raiders?
And Josh McDaniels.
Greg Williams in his first game. Well, this was new coordinator and new quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The season was over to all the fans. I mean, the fans and the players were feuding midweek. I'm done. I'm handing in. I'm giving away my season tickets. I'm not renewing next year. Never cheering for the Browns again after they critiqued the fans. So that they had nothing to lose the way they went out on Sunday. Well, every time you win a game and now your players are talking playoffs again, adds a little bit of pressure, right? What if Jameis comes out, throws an early interception against the Chargers? That obviously would not shock anybody. Like, it changes fundamentally, you know, the way a game is played. That game was so much fun last Sunday. We felt like we were getting assistance from every corner. With all the special stuff we were talking about on Sunday,
so
they're going to need that kind of magic just to have a shot to make the wild card.
So
the rest of the year, they're going to have to do this how many more times?
You clearly disagree with me. I want to know from people who disagree with me: do they have to look good on Sunday? I say NFL games are won on the margins. There's a handful of plays. Sometimes the ball bounces your way. They're meant to be tight games because of the salary cap for a very specific reason, for your entertainment. They game it that way, so they are tight games that come down to the end. But do they have to look good Sunday for those of you who are ready to move on to 2025 and beyond? Do they have to look good on Sunday to ever have a chance to change your mind? That's Ronnie McLeod talking about the Browns and the chances about beating the Chargers. Also went forward and says, boy, it's almost like the playoffs are already here.
Obviously going into this week, another AFC opponent who's playing well. That's kind of the mode that we're in. You know, we're in that playoff mode, and we just got to take it one game at a time. Can't look too far ahead, and the next matchup is the Chargers.
So I'm of the belief they need to do what they can. Like, guys, if they come up to you and they are offering second-round picks for Za'Darius Smith, I'm going to say no right now. Come on.
Oh, he'd be gone. Yeah.
Like, there's people out there who think ridiculous. I'm saying, about like, no. Guys, there has to be some nuance here. It can't just be all or nothing. But I do believe that if the Lions are like, hey, you know, we'll let you know. And, you know, like, we'll keep your number and we want to call you about it, but maybe Sunday night, we'll call you and we'll up the ante because all we're really willing to offer you is this and this, and they're not very good. No, the picks are not very good or something. Well, then hold on to them and see what you do on Sunday. And if you get to 3-6, like, that is still a huge mountain to climb. I won't deny that, gentlemen and ladies. But also, you've invested. There's 11 guys making over $10 million on this football team, and one of them isn't even able to play for the rest of the season. He's got an Achilles injury. And he was part of the problem as it was already. I mean, he's the reason a lot of people feel we're even in this mess. And you guys are probably right. I'm just not willing to say it yet. But I just owe it to my veterans. I owe it to Nick Chubb. I owe it to Myles Garrett, Joel Bitonio, Wyatt, et cetera, Denzel. I owe it to them to try to make a run. And I owe it to the Browns fans. You guys were posting up your pictures of you selling your season tickets.
Oh, yeah.
I got to put something out there on the field that is somewhat exciting, that at least would be entertaining enough to try to win. If they go out there and they suck up the room and they lose to the Chargers, you know what? Start the sale. Open up the doors. Everything must go. But damn it, I owe it to this organization. It seems like you're coming around for me, by the way.
Well, it's just one week.
I owe it.
The deadline's not this week. It's next week.
So why am I having people call me stupid over this? Call me stupid over lots of other things. Why are you calling me stupid over this?
Yeah, they absolutely...
Over wanting to compete and win?
They absolutely get this game. I mean, maybe the reason they traded Amari Cooper when they did is because they were worried they weren't going to get an offer like that again, especially if more receivers were coming onto the market. So they kind of had to pounce. Plus, Amari wasn't playing well. He was dropping the ball. And seemed like his contract dispute behind the scenes was leading to some either animosity.
They offered
or
a third.
Will.
I don't even want to turn that down. It's a third round pick.
Yeah, and you got a third.
I don't trust maybe the guy who's making the pick right now, sad to say. But they offered a third round choice for him.
Yeah.
He was going to walk after this year.
It became a no-brainer.
You might have been able to get a compensatory pick that was commiserate with it, maybe. I'm not sure how the rules work, but probably not. And Cleve T.A. will probably text us at some point correcting me on that. And I'm open to being corrected on that. Certainly, it's not an argument. But I'm willing to take a third-round pick for Amari Cooper at that point. Even if it comes up with Elijah Moore here over the next couple of days, maybe that's a conversation. But at the same time, now I got a quarterback who's able to put the ball on Elijah Moore and on Cedric Tillman and on Jerry Jeudy. And I don't have Jerry Jeudy whipping his helmet around. I had a Sunday where Jerry Jeudy isn't mad. And Cedric Tillman isn't bewildered, which, by the way, somebody asked if I should apologize to Cedric Tillman for calling him a water heater. I will apologize to Cedric Tillman for calling him a water heater. And let me tell you this. Maybe a guy who we know had problems running a route last year or running the right route last year, maybe it compounded the issue that he had a quarterback where he didn't know whether or not he was going to throw him the ball at any time. Maybe that compounded it. But again, maybe I'm just looking for more and more things to throw on the fire that is the Deshaun Watson tire fire.
I'll tell you
maybe
what.
Maybe I am. Maybe I'm being a little bit too harsh.
This conversation between us over the last day has made a team that is 2-6 in a showdown with what? Chargers are 500?
Yeah.
Is that what they are?
Oh, yeah. It's a...
No, they're 4-3.
They're 4-3.
Yeah.
Okay, but pretty mediocre team, right? Yeah. They've been pretty mediocre.
They don't score over 20 points either.
This is a showdown.
You have made this... all of a sudden, an interesting showdown when it deserves none of that. If it were two other teams in any other part of the world,
who's doing the game for CBS? Is this Adidas game?
I'll look it up.
Is this a Spiro game?
You know, we started out, I think, 2.5 point dogs, and it's a 2 right now. So we are underdogs in this game.
Yeah. So I mean, Vegas, they do have Justin Herbert over there.
So Vegas did get swept up in last week's win.
Yeah, I really like what Jameis Winston did last week, but I still have Justin Herbert. Now, he's a media darling, but he's still better. Eddie in Westlake, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, you know what? You know, this whole quarterback situation, this you know, I was wrong about this. You know, I felt like, you know, Deshaun Watson was going to get back to where he was, but it's too many things that's pointing to it's the quarterback, because you know we said this about Andrew Berry and his picks and all that, man. You know, Cedric Tillman looked like a guy that could assume a number one spot, number one position as a number one wide receiver, and you know, and
he's two games he's jumped up to a number one wideout in the NFL.
Well,
he was really good on Sunday. I wouldn't go that far, but he was really good on Sunday.
Okay. Well, put it this way. He's the best receiver on our team, which makes him a number one.
Well,
and I know, like, you...
Better
Lyman,
than
you got
Jerry
this,
already?
Got,
better, better, right, well, better right, than Jerry like, Jeudy. Like, better than Jerry Jeudy.
Listen. Well, Jerry Jeudy, too, he might be a 1B. But the thing about it is, his attitude is such... I know we're 2-6, but he's looking at our record. But all we can do is chop these people down as we go. If we back into the playoffs and we're in there 9-8, so be it. But all we can do is chop these people down. You said we're 4 games out of the division, but let's not look at the division. I'm looking at... You mean to tell me that the Cleveland Browns can't end up being one of the top 7 teams when all these teams are jumbled up together, losing left and right? All they have to do is just play one game at a time. And this schedule is not that – I mean, you say it's a strength of schedule or whatever, but, you know, the bottom line is the Baltimore Ravens are a top 3 team in the league, however you want to rank them. It's the Lions, it's the Chiefs, it's the Ravens. and they just beat them. I don't care what had to. I don't care if they didn't show up, if they lost, if the bus was late, whatever the case may be. They had to, you know, go in our favor. It went in our favor, and we beat them. They didn't have that many L's, and they took one from us.
You know,
so the reality of it is, exactly, you got to take it one game at a time.
Eddie, what do I say to the Streetsboro Youth Rockets before they went and took on Manchester on Saturday? How do you eat a whale, Eddie? One bite at a time.
That's it.
How do you eat a whale? That's exactly it.
We keep on
How's
talking
it turn
about
out for you guys?
Justin Herbert is a great talent, but we keep on talking about him like he done so much in the National Football League, and the dude ain't even 500. He barely 500.
Well, what do you think, Thank Eddie? You. What do you I'm what not, do you Justin reasonably Herbert, not, Eddie? What
I'm
do you reasonably
expect? Scared about yeah. and he has a head
I get
coach that wants to run the ball.
Point.
Period.
I get that, Eddie. But
he's not going to stop talking.
What would you reasonably expect from Jameis Winston?
Don't keep going
the rest of the year.
Listen, Jameis Winston is going to turn the ball over. That's what he does. Just like Joe Flacco did. They're the clones. They're the execs. They're going to take chances. They're going to do it. But guess what? They're going to score a lot. They're going to put us in position to win. That's the other thing. We're always going to be in position to win. If our defense comes to play, we're always be in position to win because we got a quarterback that can make every throw.
All right, Eddie.
And he's not scared to make them.
Thank you for the call.
That's for sure.
And yeah, I know it didn't go our way on Saturday, but we made fewer mistakes than we did the first time we played them.
So you get to play again next?
No, we lost. I said it didn't go our way. They're a good football team over there. Got a lot of respect for that program. Got a lot of respect for Jameis Winston as a quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Ah, that's how you steer it back in. That's all I'm saying. You can only win the game ahead of you. You can't win. So I don't want them to get caught in the system, and that's why it was refreshing to hear Rodney about that. You are in a pressure-packed moment. You can't win four games in 1 week. Like, you can't get them all back. So you can only go one at a time. You beat them on Sunday. You beat the Chargers on Sunday. Then you're 3-6. Get a chance to rest up. Then we'll see what you do on the road against New Orleans. And if you go out there and lose, because you have very, very, very little chance of any room for error. Yeah, you lose the next Sunday against New Orleans. I mean, there you go. I mean, you can only play the one Thornhill schedule game now. But the only thing I'm trying to do is sell a system to say, hey, you guys invested so much. If they go and they make a trade this week, I'm going to be sick to my stomach. I'm going to be sick. Because you're cutting off your own nose to spite your face.
You mean if Zadarius gets traded?
If they trade Zadarius Smith for a fifth-round pick or something like that coming up this weekend, I'm gonna, what are you doing? What are we all here for then? Do we really just give
now,
up on all
care,
this?
You don't care if Jameis gets in the way of them evaluating DTR, do you?
No.
Because it was so...
That's an insult to everyone's intelligence.
I mean.
There's not one person who can tell me that he's a franchise quarterback. No offense to the kid. He's a good kid, but
yeah, not
no
right
one is saying
okay,
that.
Not right now. The Browns obviously were hoping when they made him the backup a few weeks ago that they could evaluate
Do
him.
Do you like Cam Ward? Shador Sanders, Garrett Nussmeier?
There are things I like about those guys.
Would you let Dorian Thompson Robinson stop you from drafting any one of them guys? Exactly.
No, but what if DTR went on a Brock Purdy run? You know, that's the hope for all these guys, right?
You know, what if I had another arm growing out of my ass?
But if DTR was going to make a Brock Purdy run, we would have already seen that.
Would we have?
Yes.
On that
he
last
had
year,
opportunities had last year, and he also came into a game this year, and I know he got hurt.
Yeah.
But he didn't look like Brock Purdy in that game either. And I'm not saying Brock Purdy's a great quarterback, but Brock Purdy is a manageable quarterback, right, that can take a good team and put them right where they should be.
I just found it interesting. Why do you think he was the backup a few weeks ago? What was it that catapulted DTR ahead of
James? I think they knew that this thing was going to go straight to hell, and they wanted to see whether or not he could provide any sort of a... I don't know what happened. I know there's been rumors.
Were they planning on trading Jameis?
I don't know, Tone. I wish I could tell you.
I don't want to
gloss
over.
Who's taking Jameis right now?
There's a lot of wild ass rumors going around, and I ain't going to speak to him until I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because I was
going to shoot my mouth off.
Owen said, "Who's trading for him right now?" And you're right.
About that,
like,
anyway.
There's not an obvious team. I brought up.
They only got a week to figure it out.
Yeah, I brought up Green Bay just because.
But they already went to Malik Willis before,
I know,
and he didn't.
It was such a gimmicky thing. He threw like eight passes a
game.
But
if you're Green Bay, don't you think that you're getting the same thing from Malik Willis that you would for an asset for Jameis Winston?
I don't know. I mean, what Jameis just showed this week.
Jameis showed,
and
he looked like the number one pick a few years ago.
He did. He looked incredible. Even with the dropped interceptions, he still looked incredible. Some of those,
the one thing that I wonder about, one of those teams that's a playoff bound team that maybe needs to step up their quarterback or their quarterback gets injured, is
do they want to bring – it's not that Jameis is a locker room killer. He's not. He might be the opposite. But he is a different flavor for some people. And his flavor might not be what a playoff team needs right now.
Well, I asked Rodney McLeod. I was trying to be as delicate as I could. You and I both know there are guys in a locker room when Jameis is – doing the preachy thing that are rolling their eyes. Not everybody is soaking that stuff
up,
there's right?
53 guys in the locker room.
Well, I could just say from my own experience that when he did the knick-knack paddywhack thing and everyone went, hey, Owen stood over here and went, boo.
So I will tell you this.
Why is that, Owen?
I just, you know.
There's definitely now that he's starting, I think it might hit different.
I think he's a good quarterback.
That's
now
a good
that he's
point.
Starting, it might hit different.
That's a good point. Yeah. He's the QB.
Guys,
that's
true. You could say what you want. And like a coach can say something, and a coach has so much control. But if you're a player saying, there's only so much you could say as a guy who doesn't play. And that's the same in high school as it is in the NFL. You can be a good teammate, and you could tell everybody to keep their head in it, and you can tell everybody to take it seriously. But it's hard to get that much out of somebody who you know is not going to be on the field. Or, I'll tell you this, it could be even harder to hear it from them when you think they should be on the field. Because that's another part to this. They're definitely, I guarantee you, and I know this for a fact, there were guys on that football team who thought that Deshaun Watson should not be playing. And there were major roles of guys on that team who thought Deshaun Watson shouldn't be playing. And they thought that Jameis Winston should be playing. And that could have something to do with it as well. Because you know what? When you are 1-5 at that time, you're willing to try just damn near about anything. So, yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, he could be Tom Brady if you start off 1-5 and you look as listless as Deshaun Watson did. There are going to be guys who feel that way. Absolutely, there are going to be guys feeling that way. So I don't think that's breaking any new ground or anything like that. I'm sure someone will take that audio. But find out what you want to about it because it's all true. It's all true. It's the human element of this. But there's also where I guarantee it there were some guys going, all right, we get it. I know. Now go put your headset on. Or go put your earpiece in. That's what it was. Let me get to Noah in Manchester. Yeah, Noah in Manchester, you're next up on the fan.
Congratulations on your recent success.
Hello, gentlemen. In the words of the great Herm Edwards, we play to win the game. That's the whole point of sport. I don't want to trade away any of our top premier players. I don't want to talk about losing so we can get a first pick or a high draft pick. We play to win the game. I just want to see the Browns go out and play competitive football. I don't want to tear down and rebuild. And that's all I got for you.
Here you go. Thank you very much, Noah.
I don't think making trades right now before
quality
the deadline.
Call, just like
on.
A quality program.
I think that's a false premise. I don't think making some trades before the deadline this year means they're tearing everything down. They're hoping to pivot. They're hoping to get draft picks next year to retool for next year. Yeah. I don't think they're tanking. There's a huge difference.
Oh, I think a lot of people feel that this is a multi-year build now.
But that they could also win. The way the AFC is and the way that just the league works today, look at Houston, look at Chicago, look at Washington. You literally can get good the next year. You don't have to tank it out for 4 years and do a five-year rebuild. That's not how the NFL works anymore. I think people are stuck in different sports, too. That's how the NBA works.
Mitch, please.
All right, guys, we got audio from Game 3 of the World Series last night. This via the Yankees radio network. John Sterling on the call of an Aaron Judge high fly ball that he initially thought was not only high, but also far.
And the breaking ball, there it goes! Deep left center field, and Teoscar is there to make the catch. Oh, did I get fooled on that. What with that swing and the ball majestically going to left field, I actually thought it was going to be out, and it wasn't close.
Leave that old man alone. He's 86 years old.
I love that he immediately
audio courtesy
is like,
of WFAN.
Immediately he's like, yeah, I thought it was one thing, it wasn't.
Leave that 86-year-old man alone, man. Come on.
How bad are we going to sound
I like
at 86?
John Sterling.
How bad? I'm going to sound so much worse.
How bad will
worse.
You sound like at 86? I will have been dead for over 20 years, so good luck to you.
That's true.
Thank you very
when
much.
When I'm 86, Mason will be what? Middle school
14?
Graduation?
Yeah. Poor John Sterling. Damn
I do
it.
Feel bad, Mitch. And look, Mitch, the reality is Mitch is doing anything he can to distract from the fact that his team is getting swept. And now we're not allowing you. We gave you wiggle room during the ALCS. That has been rejected. You are a Yankee fan through and through. This has got to be humiliating for you.
This entire series has been hilarious to me.
How do you? Oh, it's hilarious now. That's a way to cope.
The way that this team seemed like after beating Cleveland that they could match up with another team that's a high paying team in baseball, and they've been anything but. The fact that Aaron Judge has struck out 20 times in 12 games is insane. The pitching can't keep up with the Dodgers lineup, and it just seems like game four is inevitable.
Why is Aaron Judge striking out so much? Where are the adjustments?
What's happening?
I thought he was a world-class
hitter. Make
your
adjustments. Where's your halftime adjustments?
He can hit for power, but every team right now is throwing a slider outside. He's a breaking ball outside.
He's a good softball player. Curveball, not very much.
You actually have to connect the bat to the ball to see power. I am seeing a bunch of swing and a miss. A swing and a miss. Oh, Judge.
Know what you guys need to do?
One swing and a miss.
You guys need to invest in Juan Soto and then trade Aaron Judge.
Yeah, trade a guy who just hit 58 home runs in the regular season. Is going to win second MVP.
Juan Soto's 26 years old. Aaron Judge is going to be 33 at the beginning of next season.
Thankfully for the Yankees, they can pay that much.
He's 32 right now. 33.
He's 32. He's going to be 33 April 26th.
Why did I think he was 25?
He was a rookie.
He's an old ass man, man.
Oh, my God, he's 32.
He's almost as old as Rodney McLeod.
Is that because I just started watching baseball this year?
He's almost as old as Rodney McLeod.
I swear to God, I would not have guessed that within 6 years. How old Aaron Judge is?
Because every superstar now is like under 25. It's just crazy.
Yeah, there you go.
Are the natives getting restless in New York? I know you catch that New York radio more than you listen to
the fan. I'd imagine, but I'm not going anywhere near the city after they lose game four.
You don't listen to us. Why? I don't even want to get into that. All right, fine. Thank you very much for being a Yankee fan and letting us all bag on you.
Part-time.
You part-time Yankee fan, full-time pain in my ass.
Zero time is your mic working for the rest of the show.
Did you see the renderings of the new
I did.
I'm sorry. I thought about you calling it Project Pipe Dream or whatever you called it. You said it at the beginning of the show. So there's renderings, artist renderings of a possible new dome along where Burke Lakefront Airport is.
Yeah, the year 3000. In the year 3000.
How will we sound when that's actually built?
We're going to be talking about the good old days of newspaper. We used to wake up Sunday morning. I'd steal the newspaper. My dad would steal the newspaper
article
from the neighbors.
Is there, the best thing is the article's there. The loudmouths on city council will make the biggest deal about it. And Lima has nothing but jokes to make that make me laugh my ass off.
The city council that actually stayed longer than 20 minutes
at
the meeting.
You set me up. Don't you set me up and do it. Don't you set me up. Right.
Get on the Casey train.
Brian, we've played your comments before on the air. We'll be more than fair to you. I don't think it's responsible to walk out of city council meetings.
Say the full name. People might not know who. There are 17 Casey, right? of them. Yeah, there's 17 council members. It's hard to keep them all together.
I want to be as respectable as I can. We'd love to hear your side. I don't think we should be in the habit right now, given the gravity of this matter, to be walking out of city council meetings.
That was over the $40 million thing over the other two stadiums.
Okay, right.
And he got so upset about it, he decided to walk out of the meeting because that's what his constituents voted him for, to walk out of his job. That's what they vote for you for, huh?
You imagine right now. Like,
walk on out.
Most.
I'm so mad I'm walking out of here. I can't believe you're asking us for $20 million.
Anthony Lima is going to fight for you to be that Ohio senator so bad that he's going to walk out of every meeting he can.
I can't do my job. I'm walking out of here. As long as they talk about me on the radio, I'm doing my job. I hope the constituents in West Park understand that you walked out of your job.
Maybe he is just following their lead. Maybe when he goes door to door, he's famous. Kenny, he's famous for going door to door. Maybe that's what they tell him. Hey, you get in there and you make sure to leave before you get a piece of word in edgewise.
I'm a loudmouth. I know I'm a loudmouth. I know I'm an emotional person. And I know that I also don't have any real power. And that's a good thing. Because if I decided to get all loud and boisterous and say nasty things with you, if you and I were actually voting on something and had that type of power, that would be dangerous. And frankly, I'll say it, irresponsible. But that we're going to, what was it last week? Put a damn winning team on the field. And now we're walking out of meetings here. What are we doing? What are we doing? Fact is, I might have voted for the guy when I lived in West Park.
Did they change?
I might have.
Did they change, Kenny? Did they abide by Robert's rules of order?
What would be the first thing I voted for that
council?
I wouldn't like? What? What is the Robert's Rule of Order? You can just walk out of the meeting?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Is that
not do the job you're paid to do by the taxpayer?
Is that an addendum to the Robert's Rules of Order?
Walked out of the meeting.
When you hear something you don't like, you walk out. You show them.
Put a damn winning team on the field.
Again, if you put a winning team on the field, then they can move to Brook Park.
They have box scores for all the city councilmen. Hey, let's look at the minutes for this one. Oh, wait, he only played half the game.
Yeah, but what was his plus minus?
Yeah, right.
I'd rather have George Forbes threaten me in a hallway than you walk out of a meeting. God bless George Forbes, by the way. God bless.
Maybe we're just not hearing his side. Let's get his side.
What side? Of what? I don't know. Mike Polensic seems to have done a great job for 40 years. And other than the hat, I don't know of crazy things that he said. I'm sure there's been a couple of opinions, right? You and I have met Blaine Griffin. I'm sure there's skeletons in everybody's closet, but they stay. They do their jobs. Don't give them money, give them money. It's your choice. You got to stay for the meeting. What are we doing? What, Owen?
He had somewhere to be.
Yeah, welcome to the no spin zone, apparently.
On the Casey train.
It's political season.